What up, y'all? Happy Friday. Apparently, Bianca wants all the smoke with Jade Cargill coming up on WWT Live. Keep it locked.
What's up, y'all? It's the big flexer, Alexis Littlefoot, and you are tuned into Women's Wrestling Talk.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.
What up, y'all? TK Trinidad here. I know it's been a minute. Your girl's been working with some projects that eventually you'll support, because I know y'all will. So shout out to Entertainment Industry for that. But I am not alone. She has been holding, well, they both have been holding it down, but she's a new addition to the family. Has been holding it down with all this. I don't know how she has time, y'all. I don't know how she married. She got a dog. I don't know how she has time, but she's here. Miss Honey's in the building. How are you doing?
I am fantabulous on this fantabulous Friday. Another week closer to the shenanigans. I'm so excited.
That part. Same here.
We missed you, boss. And
I'm good. I actually saw, you know, I forgot to send him this meme, but I'm 90% sure that if you ever get him to this level, he'll curse you out and then pray for you, the professional.
Forward. Go forward. Go forward. Go forward.
That's
great comedy. That is
somewhere. That's the professor for sure.
That's great comedy. Absolutely hilarious. Hilarious. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. I was gonna meant to count how many days we have until WrestleMania. I mean, I know how many weeks.
15.
Yeah,
15. 15 days. WrestleMania, which is exciting. It's actually, I don't know if it's because of all the projects we're doing and all the affiliations and the interviews and stuff like that. I don't know if it's like more exciting than this last year, but it just seems way more exciting this year. So yeah, here we are. So a lot of things are popping. What do you want to start off with first?
Well, I suppose since you mentioned WrestleMania, it's probably important to talk about the Tribal Chief, who has, I don't want to say come out of hiding, but he has been eerily silent over the last couple of weeks, though he's been physically present. Everyone's been talking about The Rock. Well, Roman Reigns appeared on the Pat McAfee show earlier today, and let's just say a lot of sound bites dropped from there. He had some very kind things to say, of course, about the wise man, but he also had some jabs at CM Punk. He had some jabs at Cody Rhodes. And one could argue there was a veiled jab at The Rock. The jab at The Rock went something to the effect of, I'm the only one that didn't have to go to Hollywood and come back. Obviously, he's not talking about Cody or CM Punk in that regard. Relative to CM Punk, he said something along the lines of, I'm not like CM Punk where I got to the top and then started crying about what it's like up here. So we're getting some classic Tribal Chief, and maybe that will spill over tonight into this one-on-one confrontation that's supposed to happen between him and Cody Rhodes. We were talking about this Wednesday, where it feels like Roman is almost become forgotten in this entire equation, because we're all looking to see what The Rock's going to say, what Cody's going to say. And Roman, even while present, finds himself standing off to the side somewhere. Well, tonight there's no Rock, and apparently there may be no Bloodline. It will be Roman and Cody one-on-one, and it should be a very interesting conversation.
Shout out to our unofficial official producer, Dylan, in the chat. Yeah, Dylan's been working overtime.
He's been doing good work.
Yeah, he's been doing great, amazing work. And I need to, first off, I just remember this.
Oh, we're in trouble.
I need to look for the picture. First off, y'all, when I'm gone, like, I don't even know how to start this conversation with a picture with me and Trick. Yeah, I'm gonna need an explanation because I haven't had a chance to ask y'all what is going what transpired for Dylan to not only do it, because he usually does stuff and just posts it in the chat because we have a separate mm-hmm. chat. He posted mm-hmm. it on social media. So first off, who okayed this and whose idea was it? And I'm pulling up the picture so everybody else knows
what I plead the fifth.
Is it well, I mean, where's this picture you speak of?
What picture are you talking about?
Is that what we're doing?
No, I think the people wanted to see it. I don't know if they
Is that what we're doing?
I don't know anybody specifically instructed anyone, but we all said that since we missed you and we hadn't seen you to show you love, what I said, and you can go back, I said for people in the chat to send you memes, to send you GIFs, all connected to one Trick Williams, since that is your favorite wrestler of the day. I just, it was a sign of love. It was a sign of love that we missed you and that we were thinking of you. So,
I think brought it up, and I guess
somebody, I don't know who, but I think
some chick that's been on WWT for the last few weeks just completely suggested maybe we should put where her beautiful face is and put it on Last Legend on the Kiss. I don't know which girl this is, but she looks like me a little bit, but
someone
I can't say it was
said
me.
That.
Wow.
I think her name is MMA with Bunny. I think that's her name. That's who did it.
MMA with Bunny.
MMA with Bunny did it. But that didn't even cover what somebody said in the chat.
What'd somebody say in the chat?
Somebody said in the chat, and I quote, whoop that TK. That's what they said in the chat. I did not, I literally was like, whoa, okay. All of that to say, we all missed you very much, and we are glad that you are back. You are not forgotten. See?
Wow.
We love you. There we are.
Wow. I couldn't even find it on social media, and I'm not even on Twitter like that. I can't remember where you put it, Dylan. I don't know if it was.
Here's what's even funnier about this. I don't even think Dylan was in the chat at the moment when all this stuff started happening. So that's what makes it even funnier, because it was like Dylan wasn't there, but he probably went back and obviously checked it out and, you know, said,
hey, Dylan, if you're seeing this.
Right, you know. But it's right. Literally all in love, so it's fantastic.
Right. Here is
it is
in question.
There it is.
There it is. Yes.
I'm not even on Twitter like that, and I think
look of love.
I was like, I opened it up, I was walking my dog, and I opened it up. I was like, what?
Oh man, that's awesome.
That was great.
Sorry, I got in a tangent. So I guess shout out to Dylan. Shout out to Cousin Ron, shout out to Matt, shout out to Jeffrey. Jeffrey saying what up, everybody. Oh, wait, Jeffrey said something else. I'm not gonna stay away too long. Dylan is saying Teflon G made me do it.
Wait, again, we all owned up to whatever our parts in the whole equation were. And all I suggested was for people to send you memes, send you GIFs, all of those things about Trick. But see, this is what I love. This is what I love about our crew. We all own our stuff. We all owned our part in saying that we love you. We didn't hide it. We didn't hide behind anybody. We all owned up to it.
Anywho, sorry.
We acknowledge you.
We put our ones up.
Wow. Well, with all that saying, thank you guys for holding it down. Also, thank you to Dylan for flooding my WhatsApp inbox with all the videos. We need to there's so much stuff we have to upload. So shout out to Dylan for that. And you guys who watch us live and watch us after you watch us live and listen to us and all the things. But back to Roman, which kind of, I guess that's how he felt when The Rock came. We just kind of forgot about him. Now we'll go back to him. Back to Roman. What we thinking? What's going to happen tonight?
Well, I think Roman has to reestablish the fact that he's in this, you know. I think the difference here is The Rock occasionally referenced Roman Reigns in the equation, we regularly referenced the Boss Lady and ensured that the people would not forget the Boss Lady. So that's one of the big differences. But for Roman, I definitely think tonight he has to come back with that same kind of energy where he's been the tribal chief for the last 3.5 years. We need the guy with the dominant performance. We need the guy who has main evented now 4 WrestleManias. At this point, he's doing things that very few can ever say that they did. He's honestly getting very close, and I have to double check my Roman main event figures, because he's right now in like Hogan country, because Hogan main evented 5 of the first 6 Manias. The only one he didn't main event was 4. Well, actually, let me go back further, because it was, thought he was in 7 too. Yeah. And 8. Yeah. So I'd say 9. Well, technically 8. Yeah. So 7 of the first 8. 9, he was not scheduled in the main event. He ended up doing something at the very end impromptu. So we're talking 7 Manias for Hogan. Nobody has come close to main eventing that much except for Roman. So I need to go back and see how many Roman has actually been in the formal main event in. I think 32, 33 was Taker. I'm trying to remember what 34 was for him. He was not main event at 35 or 36, because 35, he was just coming back from the cancer diagnosis. 36, he completely missed because of all the things going on with COVID. Then we had 37, 38, 39. I just lost count. Was that
37, 38, 39, 40 is about 34.
Right. So 32, 33, 34. He missed 35, missed 36, 37, 38, 39. So this would put him at 7.
Ooh, lucky.
Yeah, where's Bosa at? Bosa usually has these facts like off the rip.
He usually does, right? So at this point, now this is what's interesting. Because with this one, there are multiple arguments that could be made, but let's just stick with 7 for sure. This would be number 7 for him. And the fact that it's 2 nights and he's in both nights, some could make an argument that that could count for 2, but we'll just say 7. However you look at it, this puts Roman in very elite category. He has got to tonight reassert himself and remind us why he is the main event and not The Rock. He's going to have to do that tonight. So I don't know how nuclear he needs to go or what he needs to do, but he needs to bring that kind of energy. And Boza, to that point. So that's what I'm wondering. If they counted as 2, then it would be 8, because the 7, I'm counting 40 as well. So if they count 40 as but 2 because the of the 2 nights, it would be 8.
I know we've been talking about Roman beating Hogan in so many things, right? But we haven't got it officially, as far as I know, officially from WWE that is the goal, because I would understand it if we didn't necessarily see Hogan at all. And it's kind of like almost like a permanent ban, that type of stuff. But we saw Hogan at the last major PLE.
Yeah, Royal Rumble.
So he's not banished. He's, you know, they bring him in here and there, obviously for reasons. So is the goal really to beat Hogan? Because let's say Hogan didn't do what he did, right? Do you think Roman would still be in the same position that he is right now? Or do you think it just is like, yo, we want to strap? Like, it's just how everything played out. And now they have this massive story with the bloodline. Why not make it like bigger, like, you know, almost like the grandest tale of them all, and it has nothing to do with Hogan.
Yeah, I tend to think this has nothing to do with what Hogan did or didn't do. By the way, thank you for that, Boza. For those who don't know, Boza was late because he's watching right now. The relaunch of Turnbuckle Championship Wrestling is airing on the Nightmare Factory YouTube channel. I'm doing commentary on there, so I'm in 2 places at one time. Kind of cool.
Also, you must have like 6 screens. know how you. I don't but, know how you. You watch all this. Shout out to you.
But
like
I would
have the command.
He might. He actually might. That actually would make a lot of sense. But I think for Hogan, Hogan stands as the figure in WWE folklore. Certainly when you think about wrestling in the last 40 years, WWE or not, Hogan is the name that the least familiar with pro wrestling, they know Hulk Hogan.
Right.
So I think regardless of what he had done, this would still be happening, you know, because if they didn't want Hogan mentioned, they would treat him like they've treated several other people that they wanted to erase from the record. I think the real question now is Hulk Hogan's championship reign, that is, that is breaking that right now more important than putting the title on Cody at this stage? Because I think Cody, I said this last week or earlier this week, I feel like I finally believe that Cody could actually win. Like, I actually believe it now. And that was only because when I sat in that arena and saw how people went completely ape over everything Cody, whenever Cody was mentioned, and how Cody literally was at the arena 45 to 50 minutes after the show, still signing autographs and all of the, there's too much goodwill there right now. So yeah, it's
I don't know what it is about when Roman resurfaces, or when I just when he you know, like as he did on the Pat McAfee show, or just something, or something when he's mentioned. I don't know what it is, but talking about Roman brings out my inner heel, and I just cannot. I cannot fully believe that Cody could still win yet. There's still some things for me where I'm just looking at everything with a very big side eye. I don't trust anything, you know? And I learned that from Stone Cold. But Cody is capable of winning. I'm not negating anything or taking anything away from Cody, because we all know Cody is the guy. He is the face. Even without a championship, he is the guy and is still the face. So is it, you know, is it like, could it possibly be another Becky situation where people would then eventually be led to believe that he doesn't need the title, the title needs him, you know? Whereas Roman's reign has been built on the prestige and the lineage of that title. You know, so it's really hard to say, and they've made it very hard to know what could possibly still be the outcome. But there are some things that are telling me that it's, I don't know if Cody, I know Cody can, but I just don't know if he will right now. Again, I just don't know. I just don't know. So it's up in the air still for me. Until we do like our little predictions and figure it out the week of, because that's going to be fun. And I know I'm going to piss a lot of people off with it, but I'll give it some more time. I'll wait another couple more weeks for all of that.
So Bosa saying, in the case that this current administration doesn't know how to get Roman's belts off of him. Sorry, honey, but I think fans are starting to get fatigued. I actually agree with honey. I feel like, I was watching, I believe it was Raw, and there was a sign when Roman was speaking where, it was the brothers, it was the Usos. And there was a sign in the middle where they were asking for their dad. And like, I feel like there's so many, angles to do with this that I don't think some fans will get fatigued. There are some fans who don't like it at all. They think it's, you know, terrible, the Cody crybabies, et cetera, et cetera. But I feel like when people talk about, like when you talk about Roman, even though they don't know Roman, they know The Rock, and The Rock is adjacent to Roman. So you have the people who are not, who are casual fans, that you can kind of rope them in a little bit. So I think this story is going to go on more to the point that when he finally does drop the belt, we're just not going to see him for like a couple of years. Like
I'm going to, exactly. And I'm going to need people to understand that this story didn't start with Cody. This story started when Roman and Paul Heyman aligned themselves. That's when this real story started. So a lot of people, like you said, Professor, earlier this week, that Roman kind of got lost in the shuffle and you know, he's nowhere to be found in all of this. But what if he's just, you know, just sitting back, letting the chess pieces move themselves. And then he's going to strike in his own way and make something happen to the point where it turns on Cody and people are going to be even more crazy and hugely upset. But
I actually have to disagree with you, honey. This started way before Roman and Paul Heyman. This started way before that.
TK Trinidad, yo, if you listening to the sound of my voice, girl, you probably ain't listening. You don't listen to a damn thing anybody else does. Listen. But we gonna crop this out right now. TK, you don't listen, but listen. TK asked for the bloodline before the bloodline even existed. Before Roman and anybody ever had the bloodline even on, she had it on her brain. She goes, they need to do this, 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 and this. She need to do the Usos with Roman, with this Samoa and that Samoa and Tamina and da, da, da. And I was like, that sounds pretty dope. That was years. I'm talking about years ago. I'm talking about 5 years ago. And look where we are now. So she put the bloodline together for the bloodline, put the bloodline together. So TK, you seen it, girl. You seen it a mile away. I'm going to give flowers what flowers are due. Damn it. It was there, but she laid it out for you. You know what I mean? Maybe they took her idea. You know what I mean? You know?
The prophecy unfolds. The prophecy, girl. Now, and you know what's crazy? I feel you on that because I was thinking like that would be a hell of a faction. That would be a hell of a feud. It would be hell of a story. And if you want to talk about it, Bloodline is starting to compete with Kane and Undertaker as the greatest story ever told. I don't care what anybody says. I really don't care. It's starting to compete with it. I'm not saying it's better, but I'm saying it's starting to because of the longevity and how they're keeping it with the bloodline. And it's going to be a Samoan Dynasty WrestleMania. Literally. So,
and the thing is,
you got the receipt with members. That. You work there.
But it's easy when you tell stories. It's like that family is never ending. They have children. Like, you know what I'm saying? There's so many layers to this that can go. So eventually it's going to die down because that's what with every empire. But I don't think it's time now. There's just so many. We have two cousins that can make a play. So, you know, we're going to see. I think we're in for a lot of surprises. But I think we've given Roman enough time. We gave him 23 minutes. So I think it's time to move on. Oh, wait, Professor, do you have anything to add to this?
Oh, no. Carry on.
Yeah, I think let's move on to something else. Roman, your time is up.
Well, or is it? I think we have a visitor who's visiting from his parishes, and I think he is taking some time away from his governmental duties to join us here today.
Oh, snap.
He's the tribal chief of Vice City. Uh-huh. Set is in the
tribal chief of Vice City. That's what we're doing now.
He moved up a rank of
parishes. I'm not that. A well-traveled EST, some would call it. Now I'm used to some of you guys on this stream. We got to hold on. Do my eyes deceive me? We have an unfamiliar face here. I believe that is Miss TK Williams. Welcome back.
I see what you did there, sir.
TK, literally TK is like the T and the K is the beginning and end of
TK Williams. Yes.
What we got next? What we have next?
She over it. She over
I,
us.
I well,
not going into there.
Well, I guess we're going to go from one extreme to another. I mean, these guys are obviously very polarizing. Apparently, there was a podcast that happened this week that saw a current WWE Hall of Famer unhappy with a current WWE superstar. Now, that Hall of Famer is one Bill Goldberg, who went onto the podcast. What a picture. Oh, that's a brilliant picture. Wow.
That was my face after I saw the clip.
Yeah, he went onto this podcast, and he went on to say that, in his words, quote, "Some Japanese girl beat my undefeated streak in WWE." He went on to refer to her as Asuka instead of Asuka. And he just said, yeah, they touted her as being the one to have the longest winning streak. And it just so happened that it culminated when I got there. And then it just so happened that every single wrestler uses the spear in their moves. Pretty ironic that that happened when I got there, right? That's how they do it. That's what Bill Goldberg had to say. And as you can imagine, there's been a lot of talk on these internet streets about Bill Goldberg's comments. So I leave it to you all to say whatever you'd like to say regarding Bill Goldberg and his commentary about, in his words, some Japanese girl named Asuka.
I mean, first, look, everybody's entitled to their opinion. And
everybody stole the spear from him too. That's what he also said.
Everybody entitled to their opinion. And you know, we all kind of know it's incorrect. And there's so many things to break down as far as how he said it. I sometimes wonder if people are that dumb when they say stuff like that, but also, I realize that some people are lucky enough or unlucky enough to be in their bubble that they don't realize that when they say certain things, it's like, you don't seem educated and it's not kosher. So, you know, this great thing about wrestling is it's wrestling, it's entertainment, and he's on a podcast and people freely attacked him. So it's not, you know, politics where he could say something and now, you know, for the rest of our lives, we're now bowing down to this man as the creator of the sphere. So, you know, I take that stuff with a grain of salt. That's the great thing with the internet, that, you know, people can educate him, whether he read the comments or not. That's a whole nother story. So totally disagree with him, but there's many people like him that say stuff like this all the time.
You want to go first, Seth?
There's not much I can add to this that the internet hasn't already done with dunking on Bill for the past really much all day today. All you can really say is that the Hitman was right about Bill Goldberg and continues to attack him any chance he gets asked about Bill. But it's kind of unfair to kind of almost try to diminish Asuka and her accomplishments. And I'm pretty sure they have nothing to do with Bill. And if anybody has any like credibility of being mad about a finisher being worthless now, it's Shawn Michaels. Mm-hmm. Super kicks mean nothing now. That would be more upsetting because Shawn Michaels actually has a lot of classic matches in his catalog as opposed to Bill. He's entitled to feel how he feels and to create whatever conspiracy that helps him in his head. One thing I heard from an excerpt is that he felt like he didn't get along with Triple H, which is why maybe creatively things didn't work out. And that's his personal feelings. But the clip that's getting circulated is him seemingly diminishing Asuka, who I believe there's a tweet floating around where she said she respects Bill Goldberg around the time she of her breaking that streak. So, I mean, at the end of the day, we're going to dissect this for days. And whenever Asuka goes back to NXT, she's still undefeated. So who's really winning here?
Exactly.
Do you think he did this on purpose, though? Like,
he strikes me as somebody that doesn't really care about the business that much at this age. Okay. So
I was just going to say, that was going to be my point, TK. I don't think that this was something that he would actually, like, work just by him saying it and how he said it completely shows the ignorance that he has for the wrestling business in itself. Because what do you mean you're not aware of this Japanese girl? She's known all over the world in wrestling. Why don't you know about her? Oh, maybe because you're a little ignorant and a little bitter and a little salty about the way your career ended with WWE. Oh. But I'm just saying that, I'm just saying what everybody else is thinking. And we have a long list of wrestlers to prove it. I mean, all you got to do is say Bret and Undertaker, okay? That's all you got to say. And himself, because I believe in that match, he knocked himself out before the match could even start, you know? So you want to talk about perfecting spears. You didn't even perfect your own in that match because it not your own spear knocked you out. You knocked yourself out, son. And you know what? And you know what's funny? I remember watching it like clear as day yesterday, Monday, every Monday, this guy was on fire. The people loved him. He was impactful. He had something, you know what I mean? And he did, but you didn't try hard. You didn't seem to want to get along with the other people to help you boost up your arsenal a little bit and your artillery as far as being in the ring and an in-ring technician, William Regal, you know what I'm saying? Like, these are men who have been in the business and know technical wrestling and how it's supposed to be done and how it should be done and to keep people safe. Goldberg shouldn't be talking about that. Bill Goldberg, I'm gonna do what Brett does and say him by his whole name. Bill Goldberg has completely shown how, with those comments, how ignorant he completely is. And to disrespect, whether you meant to or not, it's disrespect to Asuka, to denounce her as some little Japanese girl that beat your streak. Because not for nothing, she was killing it in the ring while beating your streak. She beat your streak better than you created it, sir. So watch your mouth and don't disrespect Asuka. We love Asuka over here. And nobody's ready for her, especially you, Bill Goldberg.
Don't mess up your son's NIL money, Bill. These quotes.
Like, you're gonna ruin relationships in the future if you don't keep it cute. You know what I'm saying? And then Undertaker, like, need I say more? That's the one that got me, because it's like we literally almost saw him practically ruin and end Undertaker's career
and life. Yeah,
including his own. So it's like, so you can't be trusted in or outside of the ring, and you're bitter and salty, and go somewhere in your bitter bubble. That's all I gotta say.
I think MB 999 is this one definitely for Professor Asuka to Goldberg is Queen Aminata to MB.
That's actually funny. That was actually funny. The only other thing I will add to this is this is really a continuation of what we saw last week in terms of how things were done with WWE 2K24 and those fans who had so much to say about Bianca. It's the same spirit. It's the same sentiment. It's the same idea. And here's the thing. And I don't know how respectfully I say this, but things like racism and sexism don't like to hide. And whenever they feel privileged enough to show their hand, they do. Whether it is some, you know, keyboard warrior hiding with an egg as an avatar and 13 followers, or if it's a WWE Hall of Famer who happened to get lucky, for lack of a better term, feels like he can go on a podcast and call an accomplished world champion some Japanese girl. If that isn't racist and sexist, I don't know what is. It's misogynistic. It's all of the things. So Goldberg, at this point, you've not only proven that you're a bad wrestler and you're an unlearned wrestler, but you're not a very wise human being either. And, you know, you're at the age and the privilege where you don't feel the need to apologize for making such a horrible statement. It's horrible. So for me, like, I'm good.
We gave you a Hall of Fame ring.
Rewind that back. Age and privilege.
That's what it is.
Privilege.
It's age and privilege. And the thing is, you know, people don't like to talk about these kinds of things, but This is what it is. It's why he feels comfortable enough saying that. Like they gave some Japanese girl my streak.
My streak. Like what? And then your move, the spear, as if Edge, Roman, and Rhino and guys like that didn't exist before you doing spears. Like, are you out of your mind, sir? What are you sipping on?
Yeah. The only reason why I'm talking about it is because I think it is important that when we see this kind of behavior, not even the inaccuracies of what he's saying, but it's the attitude of racism and sexism, we have to stamp it out, because that means he doesn't like people like us being in a space like this. Because if it threatens his record, then next it'll be, you know, they let some brown people, you know, some brown boy or brown girl over there getting a podcast space where I used to be. Right. Same idea. So
and then mispronounce her name. That's shady. Yeah. They mispronounce Asuka. Her name. You know damn well.
Nobody anywhere calls her Asuka.
Asuka so, is the only person I know who said Asuka was Celia Cruz. And that means sugar in Spanish. Okay. I don't want to hear it. When I heard that, I fell out.
But here's the thing too. I agree with you, Professor, but here's the opposite of it. I'd rather them say whatever they need to say and stand on it. And we can say, you know, how we don't agree, how we disagree, etc. But I'd rather them say that in our face, just the same thing as far as people who had problems with Bianca being on the cover. I'd rather them say that in a public space than, like you were saying, hide behind the keyboards or, you know, have talking in a little group somewhere. Like if you really truly feel that way, then have the balls to just say it and then just deal with the consequences. And or the thing too is, same thing what you're saying as far as the age and the privilege, if he's as busy as he is, he's not really looking on social media like that. He probably did the podcast. He saw a couple angry tweets and said, all right, cool. And then he's living his best life as a white man and wherever he is. So I'd rather you say that so that I know what I'm dealing with versus having those feelings amongst the club. So like, you know, it sounds terrible, but kudos on you for having the balls and, you know, saying it. Is it right? Absolutely not.
Well, but there's some with the consequences.
Right. I think it would only be worse if he tries to double down or double back on it. That would make it a lot worse. It's like, just stand on what you said, sir. We know what you said and how you said it. If you want to break down the context of what exactly you meant and apologize, that's different. But I don't think he's that type. So
we did a podcast with Gilbert Arenas, which is a basketball player. And if you follow his stuff, he's known for just getting in social media trouble all the time. And he pretty much has said that if he doesn't feel like apologizing, if he really truly believes that like he wasn't in the wrong and whatever comment he was either misconstrued or whatever, he's not going to apologize. And you just deal with it or you move on. And I feel like more people, because unless you learn from this and you really truly feel like you need to apologize, yes. But don't give me some half-ass apology. Because, you know, there are people upset. So, you know, he said it, deal with the consequences, which I don't think is going to be too many for him. And then, you know, we know what we're dealing with.
Shout out to the late, great Scott Hall, because Scott Hall knew that Asuka was talented more than Goldberg. He called it in the tweet.
what do we got next?
Let's see. Well, let's offer some great congratulations, because I think this is fantastic news. Earlier, just a couple of weeks ago, we heard about some real health challenges for Maryse, who went to have a very serious process taken care of. She went to have her ovaries, her uterus, all of those things removed as she was dealing with cancers and she had some tumors. The good news is she is officially tumor free. And so this is a wonderful thing. She said that this particular situation is extremely rare. There are literally 7 cases per 1 million women in the US per year. So it's a very, very rare case. So she said that the fact that they found it was amazing, And that they found it at this manageable stage is incredible. And it literally saved her life. So we're really excited about that for Maurice. We are glad to see her in recovery and that they were able to catch this and that she's in a good space now.
That's a tough woman, Mrs. Miz.
Yeah, definitely kudos to her. I mean, that's a whole nother healthcare topic that we're not talking about. This is wrestling. So
Right.
We're just happy that it's good news and not bad.
Yes.
Absolutely. True. Absolutely.
What do we got next?
From there, we're looking at AEW, who had a doubleheader of sorts Wednesday night, bringing us both Dynamite and Rampage, because, of course, March Madness interfered with their programming scheduled for tonight and tomorrow night. So we got 3 hours of AEW Wednesday night, and we got 3 hours of AEW and two new champions. Congratulations to Kazuchika Okada, who walked away with the Continental Championship. His first singles match in AEW, and he wins a championship. I'm not mad at that at all. He defeated, of course, Eddie Kingston. If anyone is wondering, the Triple Crown was not on the line. It was just this one championship. So now Eddie Kingston has two titles, the New Japan Strong Championship and the Ring of Honor World Championship. Congratulations also to Adam Copeland, who defeated Christian Cage in a very wild I Quit match. To once again become the TNT champion, two legends and veterans winning two pretty important titles over in AEW.
Man, what do you guys think of Professor's like, oh, what's she gonna say? What do you guys think of AEW now? And I think I had mentioned this maybe like a month ago. I don't know. Do you think that Tony has like somebody had a talk with him and they're now kind of finding their own lane instead of trying to go head to head with WWE? Or do you think it's just WrestleMania season is just too big? What do you think? This has obviously nothing to do with the matches, but it just seems like there has been like a cool down. And everything's kind of getting right. AAW is getting kind of in their lane of sorts. So what do you guys think of that?
I think it definitely speaks volumes that, you know, Tony Khan is actually paying attention to certain things. For them to try something different automatically after Revolution and have a new logo, have a new look and bring back the dual entrance tunnels, which I really like. I can speak as someone who wasn't, you know, faithfully watching AEW. I'd be tuning in now. I'm not going to lie because I'm intrigued and I want to see more. I'm liking what I'm seeing because it's like there's a certain shift in momentum that definitely happened after that AEW Revolution pay-per-view. It definitely made it. And then bringing in Okada and having the impact that he had when he entered and became heel and then joins the Young Bucks. It's pretty good stuff that they're doing, like all together, like even just it's starting to, I guess for me personally, it's starting to make sense and it's not as wild and all over the place as it kind of was for me as a viewer. So kudos to them for converting me a little bit, you know. But I like it. It's a good momentum and I think they should keep it going. It's probably going to be a little hard to do it around this time because WrestleMania is right near it. And, you know, there's a lot of other things going on as well with Mania Week and outside of Mania and then Bloodsport and all the other promotions. So it's like they're kind of they're in their own lane, but they're also like you could tell it's like trying to maintain that momentum and keep up with the other things going on just to keep everybody and keep us engaged and talking about wrestling. So Tony's doing okay. A-okay in my book for now.
I think they're doing better from a production standpoint. I still find myself finding a hard time caring about their titles and the title pictures and the stories surrounding them. I know they returned or maybe still brought back the rankings. I don't know how much weight that goes into their title pictures as opposed to how it used to. But there are cool things I like with the tunnels. And then I believe I saw Renee doing kind of a sideline reporter type of thing. I think those little nuances of production help the show have a different feel. So whether it's not directly at aimed at, hey, we're competing directly with WWE, I feel like Tony's always going to try to directly compete with WWE, judging by how he still portrays himself on Twitter, his likes, things like that. But I think from a production standpoint, they're trying to make themselves stand out and feel a little bit different and truly feel like an alternative. And that's what matters. Now it's just coming back to having captivating storylines, and storylines don't necessarily need a belt and have things build over time. And still, we have to continue to build young stars. We can't just flash a shiny new toy all the time and have the debuts, and then that's what draws us in but doesn't keep us there. There has to be captivating storylines across the board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they are definitely picking up momentum right now, and it's really, really good. You know, and Jeffrey says, ever since Mercedes signed with him and Okada, the show feels different. Let's not leave out one very important name, and that is Will Ospreay. Will Ospreay also provided a major shift. And I think, first of all, I think the momentum leading up to Sting's retirement. Let me go back even further. Let's go back to the top of the year where Samoa Joe won the world title. At the end of last year, Samoa Joe as champion sparked a major shift for AEW. Gone were, you know, the spicy promos from MJF, you know, barely wrestling on the show, barely being present. I think Samoa Joe provided a much different energy as champion. And as that happened, so did the promotion move forward. You had a series of things that really started happening. Swerve continuing to grow and become very popular. Deonna Purrazzo showing up. Timeless Toni Storm moving in then to the Sting retirement situation, that insane match that Takeshita had with Ospreay. And then you're just continuing to build on that. Okada showing up, Mercedes showing up. What's happening now is they're now starting to provide a little something different for everyone. And I think that's what's important. What's dangerous about the way AEW initially built their company, and I've said this, I don't know if I've said it here, but I've said it in some other places, it is akin to a musician or a recording artist making music only for other musicians. So, you know, it's the Jacob Colliers of the world, whom I fiercely love. You know, it's jazz artists, whom I fiercely love. But the problem is, because the music that most of them make are for other musicians, musicians alone don't grow the music industry. Similarly, wrestling fans, hardcore wrestling fans, don't grow the wrestling industry. It is the mainstream common fan that gets excited and eventually converts. So the idea, if you want to grow the business, is you have to simplify what you're presenting and make it palatable for the common person. So that's why you don't see some of these super complicated artists having number one albums. What you see is what people call pop music, which for musicians, it's often very simply played, simply converted, but the average person can sing it. The average person can see themselves in it. Similarly with pro wrestling, if there is a story that people can relate to, they will care about that more than a five-star match. And I think AEW built a company to have five-star matches. The problem with five-star matches is the common person cannot digest that. So I think what AEW is learning is, with the signing of a Mercedes Moné, who is absolutely has that, you know, that common man audience, the average person, the mainstream audience, now you're going to start to get some of that attention to come over. And they're realizing that they're going to have, I know they don't want to hear it, but sports entertainment to actually capture the mainstream fan. I think they're starting to do more of that and figure out what their lane is. And it's starting to work for them at a good time.
Yeah. Less is more, Tony.
Yeah. And it's also very just dependent too. I think the thing that I don't think we'll ever find out, maybe if any of us start working there, is if the goal is to actually make money, or is it to just you know, give 5-star matches. Because remember, Tony comes for money. I'm pretty sure his team is making sure, you know, the right moves are being taken care of so that people get paid. But if the goal is to have the 5-star matches and, you know, getting in the green every single month is not as important, because there are major companies out there that they're constantly in the red. Like, there's companies I've worked for, they've been in the red for the better part of a decade. And for some reason, you still, the radio stations are there, all this stuff. So it's, I think that's, once, if we ever get the answer to that question, then that would be a better understanding to the trajectory of where AEW is going to go. Because if it's tanking and Tony's still funding the money, like, does it really matter? Not for us, but just for the people in general. You know, people are still going to have jobs.
Yeah, I thought I saw something that financially they're doing good, but mm-hmm. I need to confirm that, because I'm not sure that they're necessarily hemorrhaging relative right. to money. I think the model for which they make money might be a little bit different than some of what some other companies are doing. So, you know, that's different. And again, most of us aren't privy to that, but I'm pretty sure that they're responsible enough to not keep signing people and for massive contracts, as we're hearing for these last three signings, if mm-hmm. they don't have a responsible way to care for that.
Right. I mean, I'm sure Mercedes merch is going to, you know.
Well, and that's, yeah, you know, their model, I think, is just very different. It's probably one of the reasons.
Like Ilya. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, it's one of the reasons likely why they try to record so much content at one time. So usually if you're going in, if you go in for a Dynamite, you're not going to just get Dynamite. You're going to get Dynamite. You're going to get some Ring of Honor, and you're going to get some Rampage, you know. And when you go for Collision, you're not just getting Collision. You're getting Collision and Ring of Honor. So it means for them longer days. Mm-hmm. Like literally the actual taping can go from 7:30 to midnight, which seems insane. But for them, they've captured all their content, you know, in 1 or 2 days, which is right. much different than, you know, than what some other companies are doing. So,
well, we will see. They're still relatively new, I mean, compared to WWE. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what's going to happen sure. with that. What do we got next?
Yes. Let's talk. Oh, man, a couple of major things. Let's go to the Slammies, because this is big news. And I got to shout out Honey, because she was the first one that dropped it in the chat. The Slammies have returned. And yes. it's very, very cool. We have not seen the Slammy Awards in several years in the WWE. But what will be different about this one, for one, is that you, the fans, or us as fans, we get to vote on the Slammies right now. So you can go to WWE.com/Slammies and vote. And the Slammies are going to be presented during WrestleMania week. That is very different, because they're usually done at the end of the year. So you can go there. You can see a number of the categories that are up. And it's pretty exciting. Everything from comeback of the year to match of the year, moment of the year. They've got male and female superstar of the year, entrance of the year, and several other great categories. So I think it's cool that we are seeing the Slammies return. Fan voting, WWE.com/Slammies.
I'm excited, but it also... It feels exhausting just even thinking about all the things and all the shows. So shout out to Arion, for the folks who are in the LA area. Pound Town Wrestling is going to be coming back on the Wednesday of WrestleMania week. But it just feels like there's so many shows to keep track of. Like, it's already, you know, I don't want to say exhausting, but as far as just balancing, just watching just a regular week of wrestling with everything that's going on. With WrestleMania week, it's just so many shows and so many things happening. Not complaining, but it's like one of those things that, are we going to miss the nuance of the Slammies because everything else is happening too? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's great that it happened, but I don't know. I kind of would prefer it to be a different time of the year. It feels like they're trying to cram everything here in WrestleMania week.
If they would have brought it back, I would have hoped that they would have tried to at least do it maybe around Royal Rumble time, if that's what they were doing, because there was a lot less going on. But ever since February, it's just packed. So it's like, I don't know how we'll get through it, but we'll get through it. Can you imagine the wrestlers?
Feels like they're trying to capitalize on some big moments that have happened, because when you look at everything, the time frames don't really add up. Like for best entrance, you already got The Rock in there, and then you have nominations for The Rock slap and Cody slap. So they're just trying to make sure they, I guess, get more engagement off of those moments since they drew so much already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did not specify.
Oh, wait, what?
Start did you see that comment?
Uh-oh. Oh, Lord.
I got a pop.
For our folks who are listening, MB999 says, Poundtown Wrestling sounds like Netflix and chill while watching Raw.
Now, back to the news. The Slammies will be hosted by Big E and Kathy Kelly. There will be some special appearances by WWE superstars. And it's going to happen at WWE World. And it will stream on Sunday, April the 7th, on the WWE social platforms. So that's when you'll be able to see it, likely before WrestleMania, of course. But that'll happen on Sunday. And I guess the good thing about Sunday is probably the one day on the WrestleMania calendar where there's really only one thing going on, being WrestleMania. Every other day, there's just all sorts of things happening. So that's pretty cool. Again, good to see Big E in the mix, him and Kathy Kelly. Again, they will be hosting the Slammies live at WWE World on Sunday, April the 7th.
You know what I don't like? Mm-hmm. Through looking at the voting options, like, it doesn't really specify. Like, for example, for best entrance, the only ones that specified is Dom's from WrestleMania 39. Mm. So, like, which entrance are we talking about?
I guess they're talking about their general entrances, with the exception of Dom's, which I think it's interesting. And it's weird because, maybe it's not weird. Maybe they went from last year's WrestleMania up until current, because that's
I was gonna say, are they pulling like a Grammys Oscar kind of situation where they do it after and then they just recap the year before, even though it's called the 2024 Slammies or whatever? It's kind of strange. They should at least clarify that.
Yeah, I liked it to be clarified. That'd be great. But it's all available WWE.com.
Well, something that doesn't need to be clarified is for you guys to get some merch.
Hey yo, you. Yeah, you that's watching this. You sitting on the couch staring at the screen, not knowing what you want to do. Like, this is an online college. Are you tired of wearing shirts that make you look like an extra stuck in catering? Do you want to step your wrestling swag game up to the next level? Then Women's Wrestling Talk has got you covered. Like, literally. Are you for life in pink or black and white? Or maybe you're the EST and people need to respect you accordingly. Want to put some pride in your stride and show off the muscle in your hustle? Then make sure you check out the WWT store. Not now, but right now. All right? What you waiting for? Head to www.talkpodstore.com and don't make me fight you. Shit.
Don't make
her
fight you. Get that merch. Don't make her fight you.
Shout out to Melanie, an actress out here. She's a homie for doing that. And our new intro, if you guys haven't peeped that. But yeah, what else we got next?
Well, also on the docket to talk about, speaking of WrestleMania week, there's been a lot of conversation about Bloodsport. Josh Barnett's Bloodsport. And, you know, we first saw this news, I think it was last week, with the announcement of Shayna Baszler being a part of this. And now we know Shayna Baszler will take on Masha Slamovich, which I think is going to be absolutely insane. Well, on top of that, they are talking now about, again, some other options for people who could be coming from WWE to Bloodsport, which I think will be pretty interesting. Some names that have been thrown around on the WWE side. They've talked about Chad Gable. They've talked about Bron Breakker, possibly even Charlie Dempsey. Apparently, Josh Barnett has talked to CM Punk. And he's also talked to one of your favorites, honey, and that would be Malakai Black. So this will be very interesting to see who can come through Bloodsport. They still have about a week or so to make some announcements. But who would you guys like to see from either WWE or AEW join the ranks of Bloodsport?
First off, I didn't know Malakai Black was Honey's favorite because I thought Trick was Honey's favorite because she's always sending me pictures of him. I'm just saying. I know. Oh, I mean, I know she's married and all, but I just, you know, I'm just.
Malakai has been my favorite since he was Alistair. So it's like he's been a long time, long-standing okay. favorite of mine. He's one of many. But, okay. but Malakai, Trick, and Roman, can't tell me nothing. Tell me nothing.
Malakai's the homie. But, pictures. Wow.
But yeah, man. Thank you, Jeffrey, for saying that. I've been manifesting Malakai Black for weeks, and it's like, why? Where are the answers to the wrestling gods? And it's like, I would love to see Malakai Black in Bloodsport. I would love that very much.
Sindel saying that Dutch beard tickling, honey. Wow.
You better stop. He's a married man and I'm a married woman. And his married wife, he's the homie for me too, personally. So I can't even go there. That's we're not going other. There, Sindel.
You need to bring back WWE After Dark. That's a whole nother conversation that could be had. But we will keep it PG.
My husband watching
yeah.
like, oh shit.
Sorry. Said he said what you got to say.
We're talking about Bloodsport, so
yes, we are talking about Bloodsport.
Yeah, Bloodsport.
So, yeah, who would I like to see at Bloodsport? All those names are very interesting, and obviously it's happening in a couple of weeks. So the prospects of a CM Punk wrestling won't happen, but Malakai would be cool. But if CM Punk were just to show up, I think mm-hmm. that would do very good for the brand as a whole. But I think I would be cool with like a Dempsey or Gable. Like if they're truly not doing anything at Stand and Deliver or on the Mania card, any type of dream match we can get on that side would be amazing. Like I mentioned, I think doing something cool with like maybe Mox and like a Gable, that would be fun. There's so many options out there.
I've even heard Dijak's name floating around. I would like Dijak in there.
I'm sure there's gonna be so many surprises too that they're not gonna announce.
Sure.
Some people have books coming out, et cetera. So you know, a lot of possibilities.
Sindel just dropped Solo. Give me Mox and Solo, just random. Mm.
I wouldn't put it past Becky.
Yeah, you know, I actually think, and I'm surprised you haven't mentioned this one, said, I thought Lola might be good for a space like this, you know, give her mm-hmm. a chance to break out her MMA chops. I think that'd be really cool.
Yeah, I thought you know what's happening in the streets, said. You don't know what's going on with that?
That might be a surprise.
It you could may not want to leak you know, that I mean, my guy Higgs been, you know, keeping her on ice, so I don't know what's going on there, just with the level up stuff, you know?
Wow. Okay. Well,
she put up a video recently. I don't know who she was talking to, but she was
talking to
somebody.
She was talking to Carmen Petrovich. You know.
Yes.
There you go.
Talking about Petrovich County being a sundown town. That's what she was referencing. She said her kicks were weak, and showed her some real kicks.
That. Yeah. Mm. That would slap. I could see that. Higgs. We'll call them Higgs.
Higgs.
Oh boy.
What last story do we got before we
Well let's go here since the title has been about this. It'd be a great way to wrap up the show. Bianca Belair was recently on the podcast called Gorilla Position, which is one of the biggest WWE themed podcasts in the UK. It is supported by the WWE, so they do some cool things. And she was asked to give her thoughts on Jade Cargill. And one of the things that she talked about is she says she doesn't know if it's this year's WrestleMania or next year's WrestleMania, but she's ready either or. She says, I think the two of us being in the ring, people are buzzing for it, and there's magic to be made. So, we're getting conversation from her, speaking the name, talking about Jade Cargill. Obviously, with only 2 weeks left before Mania, it feels like it would be a little soon to somehow pull the trigger with Bianca versus Jade. But do you think we see Bianca and Jade perhaps side by side this year? Do we see them in a ring together next year? What are your thoughts?
I think the good thing that we've seen WWE do, I mean, we've seen it with the Bloodline, and I feel with Jade in particular, how she was introduced to WWE Universe, etc., is that they can do storylines without necessarily it having to be a match for a period of time, create a really great storyline. So I definitely do want to see Bianca against Jade. Obviously, you know, for folks who know, I definitely want to see Naomi in the mix somewhere, somehow, eventually with those other two ladies as well. But I feel like we have time, barring no injuries happen, all this other stuff. It's with so little time going up towards WrestleMania, I don't think that's going to be the play, but there could be a buildup where they start the story at WrestleMania, and now it's going to, you know, what WWE has been doing is really laying out, like we've seen them doing it at NXT, and we're seeing them obviously doing it the Blood. They're really kind of really letting the storyline simmer for some stories. And I really appreciate that. Like, it's really taking on, you know, the soap opera effect in a good way, where it's like you might miss 2 or 3 weeks, but you could pick it back up, and how they tell the story and how they recap and stuff like that, you're still good. So if life is life, in you can still come back to it and do that and not miss a beat. So I really like that play. So I don't think this WrestleMania, but I agree. Eric says in the chat, Bianca versus Jade next year's WrestleMania. I think next year's WrestleMania, especially with, you know, and I know Ronda's not part of WWE, but especially with the books coming out and you know, women playing so much of a forefront, I think next year's WrestleMania on a women's thing is going to be absolutely crazy. On a women's front, it's going to be absolutely crazy. We're going to see some amazing things, especially with all the women who are coming through NXT. It's going to be a situation in a very good way.
Mm-hmm. Let them cook, man. Let them cook. I think the buildup and the cool down, the balance and the buildup and the cool down has been working tremendously in WWE's favor, especially since last year, I would say, or since Triple H has fully taken control of creative and doing it and running the shows. As far as Bianca and Jay, please team them up. Please put them together. Because at first, I remember seeing that Rumble, and I looked at them, and I'm seeing both of them hold these girls straight up, and then they stop and they drop them, and they're looking at each other like, hey, you do the same thing I do. You a bad chick. You a bad chick too. You know what? Who's to say that won't happen? I would totally love to see them join together and join forces. I think nobody's stopping that. Nobody. Not even Rhea, not Nia. Nobody's stopping that.
I mean, if you're going to do that, you might as well throw Naomi, Jade, and Bianca. Faction.
Forget it.
Well, but the thing is, if you do that faction, then you can't, like, I hate when people do, if they're going to destroy it, they can't destroy it like, oh, I hate you now because of this. Like, they have to come up with a very creative way if they're going to break it down.
Blend it together, like team bad on another level. On another mm-hmm. level. I would like that.
I like the idea of the tag team stuff, but then I'm hesitant because I want to give Bianca the accolade of being a Grand Slam and eventually a Triple Crown if she ever goes and gets NXT Women's title. But the problem with that tag team idea is eventually somebody has to take the pin to drop the belts. Yeah. And you want to keep both these women looking strong going into whenever they have their official one-on-one. I think they're doing that right now. Like Bianca references how many views that got without them even touching. So you just keep that lightning in a bottle. And I think without this happening at Mania this year, it absolutely shouldn't, because it'll get lost in the translation of like all the other big things happening at Mania. We have a perfect opportunity to do a trilogy at the rest of the big shows this year, culminating at Mania next year. And I think Bianca should drop the first match to Jade. And I think that should make Bianca strive for something, for somebody who's almost equal, if not superior to her, because Bianca's at her best when she's at the chase. So I think having something to accomplish and seeing somebody that's larger in life as Jade be possibly better than her would make a hungrier version of Bianca that we haven't seen in a while, because she has conquered and almost accomplished everything. So another thing is, you don't want Bianca and Jade to happen this year because we have a quiet undefeated streak at Mania building. So absolutely culminated next year, maybe at SummerSlam. maybe have like a War Games match, Team Bianca versus Team Jade. There's a number of ways you can just build this rivalry over the next year.
Disgusting.
I could already see the poster, like a Marvel character poster where they're like, hey.
Dress up Jade like She-Hulk and dress up Bianca like Storm. Just let it go.
The Mohawk Storm, though. I need the Mohawk.
It would definitely be good. Yeah, I mean, we'll see. And that's the good thing where we are. There's so many possibilities. Whereas I forgot who I was interviewing the other day, but I was just talking about how like 6-7 years ago, this wasn't even like multiple names that are in the picture that are dominant. Because, you know, at one point there has been plenty of times in Naomi's career, Trin's career, that she just disappeared and like for months. And it's not, it wasn't due to injury. So just to have so many multiple people that are badasses, just the and the possible storylines, and to think of all these versions is a great place to be in. So I definitely agree with you. But, you know, I could see it both ways. I definitely want to see them go head to head. But Jade has to be on par with Bianca. Like, it can't be like, okay, not believable.
Right. Like, maybe if they do go the route where they face off and each other, like, do we still know where Jade is signed yet? She hasn't, do we know where she's SmackDown or Raw yet? She's free agent still, right? So until we know exactly for sure, we won't know exactly what direction they'll go in. But if you want to get funky with it, if Triple H brings back the whole Raw versus SmackDown thing by Survivor Series, I think the top tier women that should be ahead of either show, Jade on one forefront and Bianca on the other, and you have Survivor Series Jade versus Bianca. I think that would be absolutely sickening if he goes that route. You know, like that whole worlds collide or brands collide kind of thing. Like, that would be pretty cool too.
That's something too. So many possibilities.
Endless possibilities. Endless. It just keeps getting worse and worse.
Yeah, in a good way. I think we can put a pin in that. I think that's
we can. That's probably a good place to wrap it up
on a Friday. With that being said, we'll let Sed get back to the streets. Sed, he said, where can everybody find you?
Oh my God, Sed, you did not.
We're getting ready for the tribal chief.
Yes.
Sed's about to pound the streets.
This is
not what I was referencing. I'm not going to let you do that.
If you saw Pat McAfee, you definitely understand. But even Roman thought that was excessive.
One too many pops. But you can find me on the Twitter streets at Sed Says, that's CEDD_SAYS. You can find me on the gram at Sed Is The Answer, and on this platform every other day, Monday, Wednesday, Fridays. And I also write for DailyDDT.com. Other projects pending. I will continue to say this every time I tag out, that if you want a NXT post show or anything referencing NXT from me, we used to have a podcast guy, We Got Next. My tag team partner has left me on the apron for quite some time. So do not blame me. Send all that lovely fan mail to _JDella on Twitter. If you want it, you will receive it once you ask him.
I maintain, you know, the Midnight Express ended up having to get a new partner when necessary. Fabulous Freebirds ended up getting a new partner when necessary. My God, even those Road Warriors, when Hawk went AWOL, got a new member when necessary. I don't know that you want to continue to wait.
The professor throwing out the Freebird rule. And let me go ahead and answer Blue Bolt's question. I'm not saying that Bianca will never beat Jade. I'm saying Jade should get the first one so the rivalry makes sense. That way we get to a trilogy. We get some way that Bianca actually has to overcome some odds. That's the only way that rivalry will make sense. If you have Bianca win the first one, then you eliminate all of Jade's hype.
Yeah.
Case in point, Becky and Nia situation.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I like that comment, special little no values. Let me just throw this out here, because everybody's looking at the Kendrick verse, and I love that. We need more beef. I feel like we just got a podcast beef. Just name, just drop some podcast names in the chat, and I'm just going to start random podcast beef this weekend.
Wow.
Wow. Oh, it's getting spicy as
it gets
closer.
Wow.
I'm going to add this because Dylan took the time. It's just, see, this is how, you know, people fault me and think I try to put things my way, but this is not the case. I definitely do not want to show this picture, but Dylan, our unofficial official producer, took the time out to do the picture. So I will graciously, at my own sacrifice, you know, show the picture, but just let it be known I would not have approved it. You know, again, we sacrifice for
Wait. Wow.
Is his head on Whitney Williams?
Wow.
Oh, how you doing?
That's not the picture. That's not the picture I thought was that was getting.
Now, I was not expecting that.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
Wow.
I was intrigued. I'll tell you that. I was intrigued. I was like, oh.
Okay. I didn't know that's where we were going.
I thought this was the other picture, but okay.
Yeah, wow.
What other picture is that?
The other picture made its debut early in the show.
Wow. Oh yeah, we already showed that picture, and the parties admitted to who made those calls. But anyway,
like that picture should be the thumbnail for this show. Just representing for TK Williams. So we all have a vote. I vote yes.
Well, thank goodness you don't make the thumbnail. Shout out to Kazooza. Honey, where can everybody find you?
You can find me here with my lovely friends at WWT Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You can find me on Instagram, TikTok Wrestling with Honey, Facebook Wrestling W Honey, and the YouTube's going to be up and running real soon, Wrestling with Honey podcast. So make sure you like and subscribe. And I did not do Honey Pot predictions today. I had other obligations and other things to do. So I'm not even sure if we're going to be able to do that. We're just going to get right into it. I don't even know what's happening. So join me at 8:00 for the watch along here at WWT and talk some wrestling-ish and SmackDown-ish with me. We got a face-off tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It definitely is going to be a lot of fun. And Professor, where can everybody find you?
You can find me at Bonner5 across all of the social spaces. You can check out my commentary work with Southern Honor Wrestling and IWE on IWTV. You can check out a lot of my work on YouTube these days, my work with All Caribbean Wrestling. We had a big show in February called Say It Loud 4, a celebration of African-American wrestling, and a number of matches are on that YouTube page right now. You can also check out my work with the Nightmare Factory on the Nightmare Factory YouTube page. Just had a big show with them Tuesday for Student Showcase 13. And as we speak, it's one of the reasons why Boza was late. The premiere of Turnbuckle Championship Wrestling, which was the indie promotion created by Dusty Rhodes. It has relaunched with his daughter as the EVP. That would be Teal Rhodes. And so that premiered on YouTube while we were talking. So you guys can check that out. That's also on the Nightmare Factory page. I am on commentary for that show and on camera as well. So you guys make sure you check that out. Also, we're gearing up for Ashe Wrestling and the next big show there, which is on April the 19th. It's called Cosmos. It's literally going to be out of this world. I cannot wait. And then some other cool things are happening. So just make sure you keep it locked. Of course, I'm here whenever the doors are open. And all is well. So again, follow me at Bonner5. Some other cool content, including a recap of WrestleMania 2. That's on my socials right now, and some other cool things. So check it out. Well, thank you, Cindy. I appreciate that.
Cindy saying, love that Teflon G's keeping his hair out. I love the fact that you're calling him Teflon G. That's
crazy. That name is sticking.
It's a float. And,
you know, maybe we have to do a WWT After Dark because the reason the name. Anyways.
Oh boy.
What I do want to say, I just want to appreciate you all because Boza said that he's watching something else and he had to hop on to watch us. I really appreciate you guys for rocking with us. There's so much content. definitely get. There's so much content to watch. And I don't know. Bosa said he only has one TV. I don't know how you do it. Maybe when we get these deals in, we'll get you a couple more TVs so you can watch everything else. I don't know. But really appreciate you all for watching and rocking with us with our shows, our interviews, stuff like that. We have so many interviews in the chamber that are going to drop right before WrestleMania. We probably might be having one every single day, which is insane. And it's just so many indie wrestlers, big time wrestlers, all the things. So definitely thank you so much for rocking with us. My name is TK Trinidad. As you know, you can follow me on everything at TK Trinidad. You can follow Women's Wrestling Talk on everything at WW Talk Pod. And yeah, keep it locked. We have a brand new show, a women's all women show, debuting after WrestleMania. That's going to be pretty dope as well. With that being said, thank you guys so much for watching Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling show on the planet. Ciao for now.
I am La Princesa Tiffany Nieves, and you're watching Women's Wrestling Talk. And get it? Got it? Bueno.
Thanks for joining WWT. Don't forget to like us on all social media platforms at WW Talk Pod. Like and subscribe on all video and audio platforms, like yesterday, my G. And check out our website at www.talkpod.com. Thanks for watching Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.